Pipe your marks.
You're listening to the Pool Boy Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Pool Boy Podcast. Steve here. Bob and Katie are back with me for this episode, and we've got a very special guest with us who we'll speak to in a moment. One item of business just before we get on with things. You may have seen on my socials, if you've been following, that I've got a film out. I've been filming with Imogen Clarke since Christmas, so there's a bit of a documentary circulating out there. If you want to go and have a look, you can find that at poolboy.co.uk/Imogen if you want to see what she was up to between January and Olympic trials. And if you do watch, let me know what you think, leave us a comment, etc. on it. But we aren't here to talk about that, exciting though that was for me anyway, because I say we have a special guest with us, joining us from Flagstaff. Very pleased to welcome to the show Katie Shanahan. Katie, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure, thank you for joining us. As I say, you are over there at altitude in Flagstaff for, I think, third time this season?
Yes, it'll be the second time this season, but our fifth time overall since January 2023.
So a home from home for you then?
Yes, definitely a home from home, yeah.
I guess the question is, have you got to the point where you can walk into the local cafes and they know what you want?
Not quite, but that would have been a good accomplishment by the end of this trip to have said that could have done that, but yeah.
Okay, right, so obviously Olympic trials, the dust has settled, it was a month or so ago. We have to congratulate you on your Olympic selection. You must be super excited that got confirmed.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, I'm very excited. It's my first Olympic Games, and yeah, it's in Paris, so it's really close to home. I'll have some friends and family there to watch. And I think I'm really excited just to be in the whole Olympic bubble, you know, being in the village, doing kit and out day, being there for the closing ceremony. I'm just really excited. And obviously the racing is the most important part. Let's not forget about that. But, you know, I think everything else that surrounds Olympic Games is just really exciting as well to be a part of.
Katie, could I ask, I should know the answer to this, but where did you finish in the last Olympic trials? Because it feels like for me, you were one of the people that I would have said, of course, you're going to be on the team after this trials. But it feels like you've been on teams for ages. And yet, you know, you've just said, you know, it's your first Olympic Games, which kind of feels mad given like what a stalwart you are of the team now.
Yeah, I think, well, the last Olympic Games was when I was picked my first senior team, the Europeans. But I think I was maybe fourth or fifth, I want to say, in both of my events. So I wasn't really close. You know, it was always Amy who was going to, Amy Walmart, who was going to make the team, and Hannah Miley and stuff, and the likes of Abby Wood, who was there in the 2IM. And so yeah, I kind of knew that I didn't really have a chance. But, you know, it was really good to be picked for that European seniors, because that was the whole Olympic team there in Budapest. And I think that was really good for me to experience that whole environment for my first senior games, senior team. Sorry.
Katie, can I ask you about the 400 IM? Why that event? Did it choose you or did you choose it?
I mean, I wouldn't have chosen, unfortunately. I don't think most people would. But I think being in Glasgow, City of Glasgow, being in that age group club, and my coach Ian Wright and Daniel Grayson, I think, you know, it was really important for them for me to do multiple events, you know, all the backstrokes, breaststrokes, freestyles, butterflies, because I think it's very important when you're younger not to just stick to one stroke. You know, let's say I could have stuck to one stroke and just done the backstrokes, I would have never really known how I would have been in other areas of swimming and stuff. And I think it's always good to expand out and do multiple events when you're younger anyway. Fair enough when, you know, I'm older and I'm sticking to maybe one or two events now, but when you're younger, definitely branching out. And, you know, I think I was always good at the IM, and not so much I enjoyed it that much, but, you know, I was good at it and I enjoyed it because I was good at it. And I think I've just stuck at it since then.
Which stroke takes the most work?
Oh, probably butterfly and breaststroke. I think backstroke comes quite easy to me since I'm a 200 backstroker, and I love 200 backstroke. That's my favourite event. But I think training butterfly is I just really don't enjoy it. But, you know, I know it's important and I know that I need to do the work for it because that's how I get stronger.
We see you doing 400am, 200am, 200 back as like your main events, but I guess you're still really young and you've kind of found those events quite early on. Do you think you've got any like events up your sleeve that you might like to give a go that you haven't really had a chance to yet?
Yeah, I think I would love to have a go at the 200 freestyle. It's an event that I've not really took seriously at all or trained for, but I think for, you know, the next cycle leading up to LA, it's definitely a relay team that I would like to be on. So I think that's an event that I would like to maybe focus on, as well as maybe the 100 backstroke. Obviously, I'm good at 200 backstroke at the moment, but I've just not really got that speed and power yet. But I think as I get older, doing more training, more strength work in the gym, that should come.
I mean, you've picked two pretty tough events. I mean, most people would say 400m is pretty tough. I think RKC would say that that 200 back is right up there as well.
Worst event. It's the most painful event. And I say that having never like finished a 50 breaststroke or anything like any breaststroke, but 200 back is just a leg killer, isn't it? Or is it not when you're really good at it?
Yeah, no, it definitely is a leg killer. I think I seen that in the summer last year at Worlds. I had the 200 backstroke and then, well, the 200 backstroke semi and then final the day after. And then the day after that, I had the two 400ims. And I think that kind of showed because my 400im there wasn't the best. And I think I was just a little bit tired coming off the back of doing the 200 backstroke. So, yeah, it's definitely a leg killer.
Does the 200 backstroke take extra training, if you like, or does it just come out of the work you're doing for your 400im?
For the past few seasons, I would say it was just the work coming from my 400im. This season and last season, obviously being under Steve Tiggett, University of Stirling and Brad Hay, and we've worked a lot more on a base aerobic of backstroke. I do a lot more aerobic sets backstroke now, a lot more speed sets and a lot more pace sets on backstroke. So yeah, obviously I still do a lot of stuff within IM and I do a lot of training for 400im and backstroke, but I think it has, especially coming into trials in the Olympic Games, I'll be focusing a lot more on individual backstroke sets.
Can you break down for us what your week would be concerning land-based work and pool work? What's the combination? What's the percentage?
So last season, leading up to the trials, I was on 10 swim sessions and 3 gym sessions. This season, I've cut down the meters as well. I've done all the work I need to do over the past, you know, few months leading into trials. Now it's just about quality over quantity. I don't need to be pacing up and down the pool doing loads and loads of meters because I've already done that. I've got that behind me. So now it is just focusing on when I'm doing my key sets, I do them well and I have enough energy to do them. I kind of noticed that last year, obviously doing the 10 swim sessions and I had a lot of meters and I was getting a bit tired. And, you know, when I was racing, I was very fatigued racing, I felt. That's something that me and Steve found. So, yeah, so this season I'm not doing as many meters and I've cut down to doing 9 sessions. I'm still doing 10 some weeks, but some weeks I will be doing 9, maybe 10-ish, and now doing 2 gym sessions.
And how does that change when you go over to Flagstaff? I mean, you say you've been there 5 times in the last, however, 18 months, 2 years. Do you just transplant the training that you'd be doing in Stirling up into Arizona, or does Steve and Brad have specific things they get you to do while you're up there?
No, it's mostly just transferring what we usually do in Stirling up to here. We try not to change things too much. It's obviously really good having all the Loughborough guys and the Bath guys here to train with. So, you know, we will do a lot of sessions together, some IM sets together, do with some of the girls or stuff like that. But we don't really change too much because, well, we don't really need to change too much. You know, we're coming up the mountain for a reason. And if we know what works, then we'll just keep it like that.
I wanted to ask about training with Freya Colbert, Abby Wood. I don't know whether you do anything with Max Litchfield as well when he's there. Obviously, you know, great 400imer. But I know Steve Teague is a big advocate of the Olbrecht training philosophy, and Dave Hemmings perhaps comes from a slightly different place. Do they meet in the middle, or is it a case of some days you do a set that Steve wants you to do and some days you might do something that Dave wants to do with his guys?
Yeah, and well, the past few camps, I'd say all of last year, we mostly done quite a lot of work together. So I think the Loughborough guys kind of seen the Albrecht model, they were a bit like, oh, what is this? Like, what we would call it, AC1s, AC2s, AC3s. So the different type of sessions, they were getting used to that. And they're like, oh, what is this? Like, how do you train this and stuff? But camp in January and camp here, it is a kind of a lot more group based. So we've got more lanes in the pool, meaning that we can spread out into our groups and do our own stuff. So most of the time we will, you know, do every sessions with the Albrecht way and the Loughborough guys. But there is some sessions that we will come together and they will do the stuff that we do or we'll do the stuff that they do. But it is mostly group based stuff that we're doing here.
Do you like, because I guess they're your main competitors in GB, do you like training alongside them or would you prefer just to get on with things? I used to sort of feel a bit under pressure when, you know, you're constantly having to race people and feeling like you're needing to prove yourself a little bit in training, but I know a lot of people really thrive on it.
Yeah, no, I actually really like training with the girls. I'm really, really good friends with them outside the pool and it's always nice in the pool, especially up here because it's Stirling. I don't really have many girls to train with. Obviously, I've got the likes of, you know, Duncan Scott and Evan Jones who do IM work in Stirling, but it's just not the same as being up here and training with the girls who are IM based. So it is really good and I really do enjoy it. I don't really see it as any competition at all. We, you know, we use each other to the best we can. We always race each other and stuff, and it is good having other people to train with.
Now, we've mentioned Freya Colbert. There, obviously, you know, trains at Loughborough. You're training with her up in Arizona, and this is something that we are as guilty of as anyone else. But do you ever get tired of the Amy Wilmot, Hannah Miley comparisons with you and Freya?
Me and Freya have actually spoken about this a few times, actually, but not really. I mean, it's kind of we're just kind of used to it now. I feel like every race you do, it's always going to be, oh, who's going to win? Is it Katie? Is it Freya? You know. But you just got to get used to it. That's the way it is. And, you know, we're both really strong, bonded IMers. And I obviously want the best of Freya. Freya wants the best of me. And outside the pool, we're really, really good friends. And I know that in the summer, we'll both want to be in that final. And we'll both be wanting each other to do well.
How do you see the 400 IM on the world stage right now?
It's an event that's, well, I mean, obviously, you've got the likes of Summer McIntosh at the very top. But apart from that, it's very open. I'd say there's obviously a few Aussies. There's some, who else is it? Well, the Americans, there's some Europeans. But apart from that, it's quite wide open, I'd say. I'm not sure who's doing it in the summer. I'm assuming that Summer is doing it in the summer. but yeah, I mean, I would say apart from her, it's very wide open. And yeah, it could go anywhere.
Isn't that the point? That probably of all the events, all the female events going into Paris, it is that. But people are going, well, there's Summer. Forget about her. Mm-hmm. Silver and bronze is up for grabs.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And I think it's something that, you know, if I'm in the right mindset for in the summer, I know that I'll be able to do my best. And it is good to know that the space is open. And obviously, you know, Summer's in a league role and she will do what she does, but I think it would be good to have a good race, hopefully in the final in Paris, and you know, we'll see where the medals go.
And obviously, Kayleigh McCune has done her one 400 IM for the year and has said she's not going to swim it, so you know, someone else who's bypassing it. Let's swing back if we can to Olympic trials. Obviously, no, those swims got you onto the team for Paris, which is great, but with the chance to reflect on how events went in London, how do you feel about your swims? I mean, I think you did a small lifetime best in 400 IM, but maybe just a little bit off where you might have wanted to be in the other events.
Yeah, no, I would say I was a little bit disappointed with how I swam and at trials. I was definitely expecting to be going a lot faster than that. I think the training that I'd done before, some of the best sets I've ever done in the lead up to trials and training in the taper the 2 weeks before. So it was a little bit frustrating not getting the results that I wanted. But, you know, these things happen, and reflecting back on it, I know the areas that didn't go wrong, but weren't the best. You know, I had 3 days back to back. The schedule didn't favour me at all. I think by the 200 IM, I was I just wanted the week to be over. And I knew that obviously on the first day I got that time, and that was a bit of a relief off my shoulders to get the time in the 4 a.m. so that I knew that I was, well, on the team. I know I was second, but I would like to have thought that was on the team with that. But yeah, I mean, I think coming into it as well, my training beforehand, like I said before, I was doing a lot of meters, a lot more than I've done in the past. And my training was a lot higher. Some of the races I'd done before at Bucks and Edinburgh International, they weren't really where I wanted them to be either. But so I kind of knew coming into trials that maybe I wouldn't swim my very best. But I think looking back at it now, it's just all a big learning process. And we know exactly what I'm doing for the summer. Me and Steve have got a very good plan of what I'm doing, the meters that I'm doing, when I'm racing stuff. And you know, I put trials behind me, I made a team, and that's all the masters. You know, no one really remembers what happens at trials, everyone remembers what happens in the summer. So I think the main goal of trials was to get in the team, and that's what I've done. So
but I mean, as you alluded to there, you did swim the nomination time in the 400 IM, but you fell into that gap of, you know, that corridor of uncertainty, if you like, where everyone is expecting you to be on the team, but it's not confirmed. I mean, were you nervous at all during that period? I know I've spoken to people, you know, in similar situations, certainly in 2016, and I'm guessing it can still be quite nerve-wracking, even though you must be fairly sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was, what, second twice, and I know I got the nomination time, and, well, the 400 and the 200 back, but it was still, I was still quite nervous getting that email. Because, you know, my place wasn't guaranteed in the team. And even though I did get the times, you know, they might not have taken me. I remember we have a group chat, me, Freya, Abby and Mehdi. And Freya and Abby were like, oh, I got my email. And I was like, oh, I've not got my email yet. And I was just like refreshing. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not going. But I ended up getting email, so it was fine.
I hadn't even thought that it might come by email. I kind of, you know, I would have thought, yeah, it's like when you're 100 and you get something from the king saying congratulating you. I would have thought someone would sort of telegram. Turn up with a trumpet or something. Kate, are you 19?
Yes, I'm 19.
I was sort of, I've just checked, and I was sort of blown away, because one of the things that I really noticed at trials is that I thought, like, even though you'd made the team, I thought perhaps you were a little bit disappointed. And I thought that it was very, a lot of people were in very difficult positions in being interviewed immediately after their race, where they'd either knew that they hadn't made the team or that they might not have achieved quite what they wanted to achieve. And I just thought your interviews were really great. And like in the face of being disappointed, like, how do you do that at 19, or I mean, for any age, you know, kind of put together such a composed interview after, you know, what's one of the biggest races of your life and you're not quite sure where it leaves you?
Yeah, I don't really know. I haven't really thought, to be honest. I just kind of, well, obviously after the 200 back, I wasn't the happiest after that, but I knew that I kind of had to almost put on a brave face. You know, it's not the best. I didn't really enjoy getting interviewed. I just kind of wanted to get back and swim down and go back to the hotel. But, you know, it's what we've got to do as a sport. And obviously it's really good for like Sif Honey and Holly, who've done well, and, you know, they really deserve to be in the limelight and in the interviews and stuff. But yeah, you just kind of have to put on a brave face sometimes. And it all comes with the sport, doesn't it?
What was that London experience like? Because, I mean, you're going to be doing it for the next 5 years, hopefully, and let's say the next 4 years between now and LA. Did you like it? If you didn't like it, what can you do to change that?
Yeah, I mean, coming into the meet, Duncan Scott anyway said to me the night before racing started, when we were watching at the hotel, the racing, he said, oh, I forgot how emotional the Olympic trials were. And I was like, the emotional, like, it's not that bad. Like, it's only Olympic trials, it can't be that bad. And then I remember, like, after the 400 IM and the 200 back, I was like, oh yeah, like, I know what it means. Like, it's a very emotional week. And I kind of just expected it to be like a normal trials, but it definitely wasn't. I mean, there was people who, you know, were wanting to make the team, didn't. And it's very cutthroat environment. And it's a shame for the likes of people who didn't. But yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed the whole Olympic, well, being in London and stuff. And the crowd is amazing and the pool's amazing. And you know, it's really exciting that we'll be there for the next 4 years, and I'm looking forward to getting back racing there, because I think it's such a good pool, and yeah, really, really do enjoy racing there.
Before we get to the serious looking ahead to the Olympic stuff, can I ask, when is Olympic Christmas Day, which I think is the kitting out day, is that something you're looking forward to? Because I always think that looks amazing.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited for that. All the kit that we get, I've heard from when they were in Tokyo, like they got like suitcases and bags just full of kit and goodies and stuff from sponsors. I'm really, really looking forward to that. I think that's the 12th or 13th of June. So it's like middle of June time. So yeah, it's quite soon, but I'm really excited for that.
1 month to go. The countdown is on.
Yeah, countdown.
Before we move on to that, Jim, because I know we're obviously talking about the Olympic experience, but how much does Rome 2022 help you towards this?
Like, do you mean Europeans?
Yeah, because it was obviously your first big senior experience, and you did well after. You got a medal there as well. Does those kind of memories or that experience help you forward to what's going to happen in Paris?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I always think that whenever I swim well or get medals at big senior meets, it always fills me with confidence, and it kind of gives me more experience and more knowledge leading into the next one. And I think whenever I won medals, like that summer in 2022, when I got the two medals at Commonwealth Games and medal at Europeans, I think I was just really excited to then go on to the next meeting somewhere again, and you know, kind of prove to myself that, you know, I can keep doing it and keep doing it. And yeah, I think obviously coming off the back of that, it's set me in good pace almost, or good place for the Olympics.
Right, we will move on and talk about Paris in just a minute. There was one more thing I wanted to ask you about trials, because I was there on the Sunday, and I saw Sunday morning, I think you spent some time with Andy Jameson in the commentary box.
Yeah.
Now, Katie and I have had a masterclass at commentary from Bob, and we were terrible. But how did you find that experience?
Oh, it was actually quite scary. I was really nervous the whole time doing it. It was like, because like you've got like people in your ear like telling you to like say this about someone while Andy's talking, and while you're trying to watch, there's actually so much stuff going on at the one time, and you're trying to like focus on the racing and think about other things at the one time. But like, I really enjoyed it. Actually, I'd definitely do it again. And obviously Andy's the master at commentary, and he's so good, and he taught me a few things how to do. But yeah, I'd do it again, but it was a really nervous experience.
Can I say, for a first timer, you were brilliant. You really go. I was sitting on the stream at home, so I wasn't down that Monday, that Sunday morning, but I heard you and I thought, gosh, she's a natural. It's really good.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'll tell you what you were doing, which what a lot of people don't do in swimming or other sports is explain it for the layman. Now, I've been around the sport a long time, but you were saying things within that and thinking, no, I hadn't thought of that. And that's kind of what you want from a summariser. And what you did was kind of, you know, just give a bit of the concept of how things work, a bit of kind of insight, which a lot of people who do that don't do, because they're talking to the swimmers. They're not talking to maybe 90% of people who are not swimmers.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
I didn't talk at all, Katie. So I think I was just at a total loss of what to say. So I just let Bob do it.
Anyway, there we are. So there's a career lined up for when the swimming comes to an end, maybe in a few years' time. We did say we're going to talk about Paris. Obviously, we've talked about kitting out in a month's time. So maybe 10 weeks-ish to the games themselves. How are you feeling about them now from this distance out?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm really excited. I've kind of not... I am thinking about it, but I'm not, like, thinking about it yet. I think once, like, SETI Qualy's over and that's the last meet before, I'll start really focusing on it and really thinking... Well, obviously, I'm focusing on it now, but, you know, I think if I start thinking about it too much, now, I'll just stress myself out and I'll get nervous and stuff. But, yeah, I'm more excited than nervous at the moment anyway, so...
So I think I've read that or heard that everyone's going to Seta Colli, but are you racing? Are you racing a Mare Nostrum or anything before that, or is it, you know, training on until Rome and then bump onto the games from there?
Yeah. So off the back of this camp, we're leaving a day early and we'll be racing at the AP meet in London. So I'll be doing the 200 and the 400 there, which will be interesting to see how we swim off the back of altitude and see if it's any different, because we've never done it before. So it'll be interesting to see how we all swim there. And then obviously training on to SETI Qualy. And then we've got the week after Celtic Holly, we'll be swimming, just like the Stirling guys, at the Scottish Open meet in Edinburgh, just as like a last chance thing swims. I think I'm not doing anything too important. I think I'm doing maybe like 100 breaths there. But yeah, it's just a meet to do. So.
And when Paris does roll around, I mean, we've spoken about the 400 AM being quite open. 200 back is probably a little bit similar once you get past the top two. But have you thought about what you want to get out of the games, or is it just a case of wanting to go there and swim well?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a first Olympic game, so I'm not putting any pressure at all on myself. I'm not going to go in and be like, I need to win medals, I need to do this, I need to do that. Like, I'm not doing that at all. I'll go in and see where I'm at. Hopefully I'm in a good place. And, you know, I think both of the events I'm doing, like we've said about the 400 AM, it's very open. And even the 200 back, the third place is, obviously you've got Kayleen Regan at the top, who's obviously going to be doing really well. But that third place, again, is very open, which is quite exciting to know that in both my events there is a medal chance. But like I said, I'm not putting any pressure on myself. I'm going to go, I'm going to enjoy myself, enjoy the whole experience, and hopefully I can do quite well in the pool.
You talk about the total experience. Outside of the swimming side of it, what are you looking forward to most about the Olympics?
I think being in the village, I think being surrounded by obviously like hundreds and hundreds of athletes, and living in the village and doing all that type of thing. I've heard stories from Tokyo that they've walked past like quite famous people, and yeah, I'm looking forward to hopefully some star spotting maybe.
Anybody in particular?
What
sports are you into? What other sports are you into?
I like tennis. I really like tennis. So maybe if I could see a few tennis players, that would be quite good.
And then do you have times in mind for the pool, or is it, you know, I mean, obviously the result will be what the result is, but do you have targets that you've set yourself that you'd be, you know, happy to walk away with?
Yeah. I've not really said a time in either events, but I think if I get close to maybe some times that would like to go, maybe a few seconds PB, then yeah, I'd be very happy with that. I know that the British record in the 200 back is what, 2.66, and I'm not too far off that, so we'll see if maybe that could go there. But yeah, like I said, I'm not going to say that I want to go, you know, 4.34 and 2.06. I'm not going to say if I go a PB then I'd be happy, but you know, I think there is some times in mind that I would like to go, and yeah, we'll see.
You did the mixed medley at the European Juniors, didn't you? Do you fancy doing that again?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to do, obviously, in Paris, I won't be doing it, but maybe for LA, I think it's definitely something that I'd like to be on. I'd like to be on a few relays there. But the mixed medley, yeah, I would like to maybe be on that. It's always a fun event doing it with, you know, girls and boys, and yeah.
I guess the 100 backstroke be a possible route into relays as well as the 200 free, you've said. So, bringing those into your program in the next couple of years.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely 200 free I will be in. 100 back, like I said before, I think I will be in. Yeah, I mean, I do love doing 100 back, but I think, like I said again before, I just need to get a bit stronger and a bit more powerful in the water, which hopefully will come in within the next few years.
All right. Well, I think we will draw things to a close there. Katie, thanks ever so much for okay. joining us. Really great to hear from you.
Thank you very much for having me.
No, it's been terrific. And obviously, we wish you all the best for your preparation into the Olympics, and fingers crossed for some good swims in Paris.
Thank you very much.
Big thanks to Katie for joining us. Great to hear how she's getting on in Flagstaff and how she's looking forward to the Paris Olympics. I mentioned the film at the start of this episode. I'll put the details in the description. Please do have a watch and let me know what you think. And if you could leave us a review wherever you're listening to this podcast, that would be really appreciated as well. If you want to get in contact, you can find me on social media at Poolboy on X, at Poolboy UK on Facebook and Instagram. It'd be great to hear from you if you want to get in contact, or you can go to poolboy.co.uk/contact to send an email. We'll be back with you soon for another episode, but until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Poolboy podcast. For more episodes, visit www.poolboy.co.uk/podcast.